ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 This lecture will be in English. Will our guests understand? Do you understand English?
Spanish.
Hallo, wo kannst du? Schön, dass er paar kannst du. There will be tradition. Today we will continue where we left off in our morning lecture. It is an appearance day which we are celebrating today, the appearance day of Lord Balaram, who is the older brother of Lord Krishna. Of course, when we talk of God, we immediately are talking about a personality who is never born. God himself has never seen the womb of a mother. Everything comes from God, but God has no origin. He can't. There is no cause of his being. So when we talk of Krishna's brother, we really are aware that Krishna's brother is not a brother like our brother. A person is our brother if he has come from the same womb. But since Krishna is the origin of all origins, his brother is his manifestation. It is not the manifestation of the same mother. So this is an introduction to our today's discussion. Lord Balaram, he has a very brotherly affection to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is seen when the Sankarachuda demon attacked Lord Krishna. He was so worried that he became completely bluish in complexion. The same happened when the demon Yarasandra attacked Krishna. Then Lord Balaram's eyes were seen to become completely colored. Now, Lord Balaram is a very powerful personality. Once he visited Vrindavan and desired to bathe with the gopis in the river Jamuna. So he was in a very joyful spirit and invited the Jamuna river to come so that they could take a bath. Thank you. Thank you very much. So the river Jamuna didn't think it is necessary to come just because Lord Balaram called her and didn't come. Whereupon the powerful Lord took his plow and scratched the floor. He ever actually made a new riverbed so that the Jamuna was actually forced to come with folded hands. and presented him a garland of lotus flowers, which never dwindled away, and a new set of clothes. Now, even up to this time, pilgrims who visit Vrindavan, and more specific the Jamuna, they can see how in some rocks there are the plow scratches of Lord Balaram. You can actually see it with your own eyes. One of the Goswamis comments that the remains of Krishna's eternal pastimes are there for us to see in order to be convinced of Krishna's leela. It is very nice. You go there, and on these rocks you find these heavy scratches, very deep. You can put your head on these scratches and pray to Lord Balaram to drag out Maya from your thoughts. This is done. So, another nice pastimes which we might narrate in order to give an example of Lord Balaram's really great potency is a pastime which took place in the Revati hills. Once Lord Balaram was there and had a great celebration with different princesses, and it is described Varuni served him by becoming manifest. Varuni is this nice liquid from honey which has a very intoxicating influence. So Balaram's eyes were already rolling in transcendental ecstasies when all of a sudden a huge monster King Kong gorilla appeared before him. Now, that gorilla was not called King Kong, but he must have been the same size. His name was Dvivida. And he was a fierce, powerful demon. It is described that sometimes, with his great strength, he would go into on the ocean side, and he would make waves so big that cities and villages on the ocean were flooded. He was so powerful. He would go to where the great saints were making their sacrifices and just pass stool and urine at such places. So he was a social disturbance. And now he came when the Supreme Lord enjoyed with his pleasure potencies to create a disturbance. It is described that he came in an undressed way and exhibited all his monkey body before the ladies, who giggled. Women laugh almost about everything or anything. So the princesses were simply laughing. And then he sometimes jumped before them and looked them wildly in the eyes and then disappeared again. Then he started to drink some of the Varuni beverage and got drunken himself. So it is described that when he was in that drunken state, he challenged the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. And was jumping before him. And so Balaram would not tolerate that any longer, and he challenged him to the fight. So in that wonderful fight, they took up these both of these strong personalities had actually no weapons, so they took the trees, stripped all the leaves from them, and then began beating each other with the huge trees. Imagine, this must be a good subject for a transcendental movie. So the whole forest was depleted of all trees when Dvivida found out that his adversary was very potent. So he took big rocks and mountains and began to hurl them towards Lord Balaram. And Lord Balaram, in a playful mood, took his club and, as a tennis player would throw back the tennis balls, he would beat upon those hurling rocks and split them to pieces. Now, when finally there were no rocks left, so the Lord sought to simply finish his pastimes. So he took his fist and just gave the Dvivida gorilla a solid stroke on the collarbone. So Dvivida was, this was more than he could bear. He was vomiting blood, just like sometimes a mountain, when it cracks open, some lava is coming forth. Manganese iron. In a similar fashion, blood was coming forth from the demon, and he was dying. Now, like in all these transcendental pastimes, someone who gets killed comes in contact with the Supreme Lord. Even in such almost fearsome way, he gets liberation from material existence. The Lord is like a great fire. No matter how you touch the fire, with friendly intent or with animosity intent, there will be the same reaction. When the demons go and attack Krishna, they also attain liberation from material existence. When devotees, who obviously have a different mood, approach the Supreme Lord, they also attain Krishna's transcendental world in Goloka Vrindavan. So in principle, both of them attain a similar destination. Although we of course know that the devotee's destination in Goloka Vrindavan is much higher than the destination of the demons. The demons only go and merge into the effulgence of the Lord. But both can be, both destinations, either the demons or the devotees, it can be called liberation. So, when I was narrating this transcendental pastime, I was thinking what our guests, who parle vous français, would think about this. Have you seen the movie King Kong? Yeah? I was just thinking that in this world this material world, we have a lot of horror movies where we see heavy fights with monsters who come from a different world. In fact, if you look into the Tibetan tradition, all kinds of fearsome monsters come. And even in the Western world, in the disturbed minds of contemporary people, all kinds of heavy monsters appear who can be watched in horror movies and video clips and so on and so forth. So actually there are monsters, otherwise they would not appear in the human psyche. Everything comes from something, nothing comes from nothing. So when we hear about these pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we actually see him killing these monsters. And this is the real picture. In this material world, there are perverted pictures which only exist as relative truths, just like the reflection on water only exists because of actual things which are reflected. So Krishna's transcendental pastimes, they are the absolute reality. Balaram's killing the original King Kong, called Vivida, is the absolute reality. And other things like the narrations or the beliefs in this material world are reflected realities. So I want to tell you another pastime of the Transcendental Lord, which is quite amazing. You can rest assured, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead acts, he will act in extraordinary ways. Once when Lord Balaram came into the assembly of learned sages, he saw an incongruity. What had happened is that the Saint Romahasana Sutta, who was delivering a lecture, did not honor Lord Balaram. When Lord Balaram entered the circle of the audience, he did not deem it necessary to raise up, to raise and greet the Transcendental Lord. So Lord Balaram, who wanted to show that everyone who speaks on transcendental subjects must know the Supreme Personality of Godhead and respect him, took a blade of grass and touched Romahasana Sutta, who as a result fell down dead. Now imagine, this is a very unsocial activity. Someone talks, and then imagine Gopinath would come and take some some grass. I didn't like your point there. This would not be considered very civilized, such an activity. But Lord Balaram, he wanted to show a very, very important point, that someone must know the Supreme Personality of Godhead, otherwise he is not entitled to speak about transcendental subject matters. And by going, by crossing all formalities and just taking a blade of grass, as an instrument to administer death, he was showing one and all, first of all, this point, that one must be qualified, second point, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the origin of all rules, can break rules of conduct and do such a thing as Lord Balaram did. Now, the saints were not very satisfied with Lord Balaram, and they said, please, you must do something in order to do penance. Huh? So they asked him first to get rid of one demon called Balvala, and then to go on a transcendental pilgrimage tour. Balvala was a demon who knew the science of interplanetary travels without spaceship. He frequently used to fly over the hermitages of saints and then pass stool and urine. Somehow these demons, they have problems with good sanitary habits. They do these heavy activities. He wanted to do it in order to stop the saints making their sacrifices. Saints cannot do their sacrifices at a place which is completely polluted. So next time when he came, Balvala saw Lord Balaram. Balaram was not going to tolerate his disturbance any longer. He took his plow, extended his arm, and dragged the demon down to the earth. The flying demon was brought down. Then Balaram easily killed him, and in this way pleased the saints. Now, later, he did what the saints had told him. He went on to a tour in going through all the holy places and getting, so to say, purified. There is no question that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is impure or pure, just like the sun. The sun is never affected by what happens here on this world. The sun is always completely pure. He can never be impure. The sun may shine over impure substances, like so many impure substances, but that doesn't mean that the sun will get impure. No, it is vice versa. The sun will purify the places which are impure. In the same analogous manner, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is never impure. Everyone who comes in contact with him will get purified. But in order to show his transcendental Leela, Lord Balaram was acting as if he had become impure. So he followed the rules of purification by going on a tour of pilgrimage. So these are some of the wonderful activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. God is not an ordinary person like you and me, who is confined to the rules of this material world, who has to stop when the traffic light goes red, and who starts when the traffic light goes green. The Supreme Personality of Godhead can perform extraordinary activities by which he directly violates the laws which are applicable to all of us. It is described, there is one German philosopher called Friedrich Nietzsche. Friedrich Nietzsche said, "I would believe in a God who knows to dance and play flute." With this, he wanted to express that he would like to believe in a God which is not confined to the ordinary rules of religion and of Christianity in particular. So if Friedrich Nietzsche would have known Lord Balaram, who dances very nicely in the hills of the Rivati mountain with the princesses, if Friedrich Nietzsche would have heard about Lord Krishna, who stands under the Vamsivata tree and blows on his flute, he would have become a resident of Radhadesha. Bhakta Friedrich. yes. In Krishna consciousness, we actually hear of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who performs wonderful activities far, far beyond the rules and regulations and ordinary conceptions which are here in this material world. So, do not wish to extend this lecture much more, although more can be definitely said about Lord Balaram. Actually, I want to ask you if you have any questions which you like to ask and which I might be able to answer. Yes, please. The Vedic explanation is a very personal, always has something to do with personalities, whereas the materialistic explanation always has to do with things and laws. In the Vedic Vedic worldview, we understand that the complex things which happen in this world are always due to personality, which is a more intricate and more sophisticated understanding. See, let me ask the question, why did you come here in this room? So the materialistic answer to this question would be, you came here because your muscles were moving. You came here because some new neurological processes in your brain cells, some chemistry, was flowing from left to right. you came here due to the strings. I'm not very sure how they are called in English. The strings in the body. Venen. But this this material explanation doesn't really account to why you came here. You came here because you thought, let us hear a lecture on Lord Balaram. Today is Balaram's appearance day. See, the true reason why you came here is a personal reason, not a mechanical reason. In other words, the materialist, he will not, he always answers a why question, you know, why things happen, by answering it as if it would be a how question. If I say, how did you come here, then why you came here is a personal reason, not a mechanical reason. In other words, the materialist, he will not, he always answers a why question, you know, why things happen, by answering it as if it would be a how question. If I say, how did you come here, then you would say, well, I, how? With my body. I jumped down a few stairs, you know, and raced through the hall, and this is how I came here. But why question is requires a different answer. So why are things the way they are cannot be answered by putting forward material laws and regulations. Another example. If we would ask our guests, why did you come here? And they would say, well, I put my foot on the car accelerator, you know, the gas pedal, and then came with my outer force. This is not the right answer. This is not the right answer. The right answer would be, we wanted to see the Hare Krishna. And if, as soon as you talk about desires, plans, motives, and so on and so forth, then you talk of personalities, which is not something mechanical. So if you want to know the Vedic virtue, everything ultimately which takes place has a personal reason. We say everything in this world works because Krishna wanted it like that. We don't say because some atoms and some, I mean, atoms and the mountains, you know, wanted it, because they cannot want anything. Only persons can want something. This is a fundamental difference in the worldview. And from this fundamental difference, you can get more specific. Divirata Prabhu.
We know this. Last time that Lama stole the cows and the cows.
Yeah.
And then Krishna was manifesting the same cows and cows. So then there's this description that once the cows saw their cows and they were running like anything, so they were so affectionate, and Balaram saw this and he was really bewildered because he. So they have now the same affection like to Krishna, to their own cows, although the cows were very grown up.
Yeah.
So you obviously, at least this is description.
Yeah. Obra, Obra, Hare Krishna. Yeah, yeah. Good. 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 Hare Krishna.
So it seems that Balaram didn't know what was going on with Krishna manifested his new forms. He was even asking Krishna somehow, something which when God gives up, it's the cause. And then Krishna was explaining that those things are caused us to be understanding.
This is a very nice question. Yes. When Brahma stole the calves and cowherd boys, Krishna manifested an identical set of calves and cowherd boys. So these calves and cowherd boys appeared to be more attractive than usual. In fact, it was seen that those calves and that the cows liked their calves more. They liked them so much, just like they used to like Krishna. So when Balaram saw this, he was bewildered. What is happening here? This is very mysterious. Why do they like them so much? As if they were like Krishna. So he was bewildered. See, when the Supreme Lord exhibits his... there is a shloka in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad. This is how we should start. Varashya Shakti Vivilheva Shruyati Svabhaviki Jnana Bala Kriyacha. That all the activities which take place, everything which takes place because of the energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, sometimes the Lord becomes amazed about the workings of His own energy. There is a similar pastime where Krishna himself becomes bewildered, what to speak of Balaram. It is described when the Agasura demon opened his mouth in order to swallow up Krishna and his cowherd friends. Then the cowherd friends were running into the mouth of Agasura. So they actually knew that this is not just the ganz geheuer. This is not. This is. He shouldn't go into this mouth. This is obviously a demon. I mean, he smells. He has a fishy smell from his mouth, and he is so big, and his mouth is so wide, gaping. So we shouldn't really do that. But still they thought, well, Krishna is there, what can happen to us? And they ran into the mouth of that snake. So when Krishna saw that, he said, how is it possible? My energy is working so wonderfully. It manifests this demon, it manifests the fearlessness of these children, my devotees. This is all extremely wonderful. He was amazed at that particular moment about the workings of his own energy. So you can see that in the past, in Krishna's pastimes, he actually plays completely, and he's involved in the play. For instance, when he feels distress that the gopis are not there, he doesn't think, oh, this is just a play, you know, I'm not really distressed, I know Radharani, she's my own manifestation, this is all my own play anyways, you know, now let me just, you know, be a little, act as if I'm a little sentimental, but in actuality I know. No, he gets lost in his transcendental pastimes. It is not that he, you know, just, I know, I play now. No, he's really, this is a wonderful thing about Krishna. He's really playing these pastimes. So, Lord Balaram is amazed, because it is amazing. He didn't say, well, come on, don't be a sentimentalist now. This is... Oh, I can just check it out, you know, I just go to my computer, how is this happening? Or, you know, he, in other words, trying to find out something. No, he doesn't try to find, he's amazed in this lila. Good, here's another.
I was wondering, why is it that Lord Balaram was so much inclined toward Purida and
yes,
and a little bit like not so inclined toward because usually we see that from Krishna and his associates, they all on one side against the Hindus. So why is it that he's like the one that's inclined to Purida?
To do it then, yeah. He liked him. he was his pupil. See, Duryodhan approached Balaram to find out the art of club fighting, because Balaram is a supreme club fighter. So he learned everything from Duryodhan, and therefore Duryodhan was partial, Balaram was partial, like we read this morning. He didn't like it all that Bhima had killed Duryodhan through unfair means and was prepared to retaliate. Now, if you ask me why he took it all this demon as a pupil, because actually it was known that Duryodhana was a demon. It's not that he later, due to bad association, got a complex, you know, in his heart. And then at the time of his birth, he brayed like jackal and asses. Imagine you are Brahmachari, but imagine one of our Grihasthas gets a child and the first noise he makes, yeah, yeah. And starts howling. I don't know, Hare Krishna. I should immediately renounce and leave to the forest. I do not want to have anything to do with this child, let me give it to another mata and become renounced, you know. So Duryodhana was a demon from his birth, and the saint said to Dhritarashtra, now you please kill this son immediately, he will cause the destruction of the whole dynasty. But Dhritarashtra wouldn't do it. So Balaram somehow took him, and this is one thing, it was known, and the first reason actually, which we should have mentioned in the very first place, not the second place, is that he is all omniscient, he knows everything. It is described that Paramatma is actually Sankarshan within the heart. We hear of different, that Paramatma is certainly a Vishnu form, and that is Sankarshan. So Sankarshan is manifested from Lord Baladev, from Lord Balaram. So he knows everything, he's omniscient. But still he parted with Duryodhana. I can only give an explanation that this is the Leela of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Many times you see this, that Baladev takes a different view than Krishna himself. Please remember the story this story will explain everything very, very nice. Please remember the story when Arjuna was on pilgrimage. He went to Dwarka and he had taken up the dress of a sannyasi, although he was not really a sannyasi. So he was coming to the court of Krishna and he was seeing this beautiful Subhadra. And somehow his love arose for Subhadra. And he knew, it was known that Balaram wanted to marry this Subhadra, give this Subhadra to Duryodhana. That was known. Because he liked him so much, as he was saying. So, Arjuna, in the dress of a sannyasi, imagine, this was a scandal. He actually kidnapped Subhadra by force. And when Baladev found out what this Arjuna had done, he was ready to kill him. And if Krishna, he was ready to kill Arjuna. And he knew who Arjuna is. You know, he's Krishna's dearest devotee. I don't know if you can say this, but one of the very dear devotees of Krishna. So, he took a different standpoint. And only due to Krishna's, come on, don't kill him, please, dude. Now, Krishna was younger than Balaram, and he had to plead. Only due to this pleading of the good Lord, of Krishna himself, Baladev didn't kill him. He could have killed him if he wanted. So, now you ask the question, why is this? And the answer is, this is Krishna's transcendental pastime. In order to have variety, even in even in common dealings with friends, friendship, at least this is my understanding of the whole thing, it means the other can also act in a different way. It's not that he says yes, yes, everything yes, but he sometimes takes a different standpoint, and then friends discuss, sometimes friends wrestle, sometimes friends don't speak to each other for 2 months, if they're good friends, if they take. Takes a different standpoint than Lord Krishna, so that the Leela becomes more sweet. It is, and the brothers, they are not always, oh, Balaram thinks, oh, Krishna is a supreme personality of Godhead. He can, everything he does is completely alright. So, no. He says, no, this was not correct. That you are this friend, Arjuna, sannyasi, huh? And taking away our Subhadra by force, and I had so many nice plans with her, and now she goes with this good for nothing, you know. I'm not going to tolerate. This is becomes very intense. Everything Balaram does is to increase the pleasure of the Lord. Therefore, Balaram becomes the different articles in the worship of the Lord. He becomes the chamara, with whom the Lord is. You know, this chamara. Lord Balaram becomes the holy dam over which Lord Krishna goes. Everything he does, he becomes the Brahman string. Everything. He becomes Ananta Shesha. I wanted to read to you, but this is getting too late, and I'm not going to do it because it is very, very, very transcendental, and it requires a long lecture to give it. But those of you who want to have some real nectar this evening, they should read chapter 25, The Glories of Lord Ananta. it is said that anyone who understands this, anyone who hears about him from a proper spiritual master becomes free from all material conceptions of life. I'm going to read this today. Fifth canto, chapter 25. It's Lord Ananta, who is one of the manifestations of Lord Sankarshan, who is a manifestation of Lord Balaram.
We know very little about Lord Balaram. We know anything about who was married to your family?
Yes. If he had children, Lord Balaram, if he had children, that I have not heard, but we heard this morning how he left the planet. Vaicheshanaga was coming out of his mouth, and he sat on top of the Sheshanaga and then expressed this virtual word. Yeah? This must have been. He sat down, meditated, and then the Sheshanaga came from his mouth and he left to this virtual word. Isn't that wonderful? What do you think, Gopinath? It's wonderful, isn't it? Just what the heart needs. Yeah. I'm sure there is, but aside from the information in Krishna book, and I think we have heard a lot, there is not much more. I was looking through Nectar of Devotion today, and I did find only splinters of information, which are extremely short. So, but you can, of course, if you have a transcendental attachment to Lord Baladev, I mean, or some kind of attachment to Lord Baladev, then you can also hear about Lord Nityananda. That is very nice to hear about Lord Nityananda, because he is also Baladev. And about Lord Nityananda, we have a lot of information. Give more information, and you have Bhakti Charu Swami here. He knows so much. I mean, I would just ask him. We can ask him when he comes here. Maharaj, tell us more about Lord Balaram. And he knows certainly more than I. Yeah. Good. So I think we have come to a natural end. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Did it work?
Yes.
Really? Der Prinzipien ist die Unterweisung des spirituellen Meisters zu also Fragen stellen, wie man Fortschritte im Krishna-Bewusstsein machen. Das tun auch die Bhaktas, die Fragen stellen und die Antworten kriegen von den Tempelpräsidenten, von den Bhakta-Leaders, von älteren Devotees. Und so machen sie auch hingebungsvolles Dienen. Also sie sind unter der Anweisung von einem Acharya, nämlich Srila Prabhupada. Alles, was wir in dieser wunderbaren Bewegung tun, ist nicht eine Spekulation, sondern wir tun Prinzipien ausführen, die eine befreite Seele auf der Vishuddha, das Sattva-Ebene uns gibt. Und durch dieses Befolgen dieser Unterweisung kommen wir voran. Nun, wenn man den spirituellen Meister so akzeptiert hat, so kann man Fortschritte machen, wenn man ihn im Herzen akzeptiert hat. Denn jetzt kommt ein Punkt.
Diesen letzten Punkt möchte ich mit dem Radiergummi schnell ausradieren. Ich möchte weitermachen. Man befolgt also die Unterweisung von Srila Prabhupada. Nun, nachdem man das tut und so erhoben wird im Krishna-Bewusstsein, man sollte das tun für eine gewisse Zeit, mindestens ein halbes Jahr, sollte man einfach sich auf Prabhupada fixieren und konzentrieren und Prabhupada und lernen und so viel wie möglich sich hingeben, und dann, wenn man sich angezogen fühlt zu einem der gegenwärtigen spirituellen Meister, sollte man ihn sorgsam prüfen und sollte wissen, was die Eigenschaften eines spirituellen Meisters sind und diesen Maßstab genau anlegen. Man sollte nicht lieber auf den ersten Blick praktizieren. Das ist etwas, was im materiellen Leben schon nicht erfolgreich ist, wie dann auch im spirituellen Leben. Und sollte dann, nachdem man sorgsam die gehört hat, sich an denjenigen wenden und ihn fragen oder sich ihm vertraulich offenbaren, ich habe diesen Wunsch, von Sri Vishnupad eingeweiht zu werden oder von einem anderen der gegenwärtigen spirituellen Meister, und dann wird man eine Antwort erhalten und kann dann anfangen, weiter auf diese Weise zu machen. So, das wollte ich sagen, um diese Regel, die in der Bewegung für Krishna-Bewusstsein gesetzt wurde, um die Bhaktas dazu zu führen, dass sie letztendlich sehr gut verankert sind, indem dass man ein bisschen Zeit lässt und dieses Thema nicht Hals über Kopf entscheidet, sondern nach sorgsamer Prüfung und nachdem man erst einmal geläutert ist, indem man vom Prabhupada gehört hat und sich vom Prabhupada hat führen lassen. Das wollte ich kurz erläutern, damit das klar ist, denn ich glaube, dass manche Vaishnavas und Vaishnavis hier das noch nicht, vielleicht noch nicht so klar verständlich gehört haben. So, dann zu deiner gezielten Frage zurück: Was machen denn die Bhaktas hier? Sie führen hingebungsvolles Dienen aus unter der Führung von Srila Prabhupada, dessen Unterweisung ihnen gegeben werden oder weitergereicht werden durch die Devotees, die älteren Devotees, deren Bhakta-Lieder und so weiter. Trivanga hat mir im Vertrauen offenbart, dass er spürt, was für eine große Verantwortung das ist, diese Prabhupada weiterzugeben. Und was für eine Verantwortung er vor dem Bhaktas hat, dass sie das richtig lernen. Und das zeigt, wie qualifiziert er als Bhakta-Leader ist. Und die älteren Devotees, von denen einige auch spirituelle Meister sind, sie geben auch nur das weiter, was Srila Prabhupada gemacht wird. So wird also praktisch der Bhakta von Srila Prabhupada zu Srila Prabhupada Unterweisung gehen, die er dann durch sein Spiritual Meister weiter erhält. Und so weiß er, dass er geborgen ist, weil er diese Unterweisung von Prabhupada hören wird. Alles, was in der Bewegung gesagt wird, und das ist das Beruhigende und das Erfolgsversprechende, ist, dass der reine Devotee, nämlich Srila Prabhupada, dass der einfach weitergegeben wird. So, jetzt nochmal Redai, ja.
Heimatalismus hat argumentiert. Ja, ich würde kriegen, was du vorhin gesagt hast.
Danke.
Dass die Erfolge dieser Welt
ja
auf der materiellen Ebene erfahren wird, so wie erfahren die Freude in unserer materiellen Welt. In unserer Welt, und ihr erfahrt eure Freude in eurer Welt.
Ja, wird auch gesagt. Ja. Was ist der Unterschied? Oh, immer beide Unterschiede. Welten trennen uns, Gentlemen. Die Freude in der materiellen Welt ist trügerisch und illusionär. Es gibt vier verschiedene Stufen vom materiellen Glück. Vom materiellen Leben. Einmal, man wünscht sich etwas und man kriegt es nicht und ist frustriert. Das kennt man. Dann, man wünscht sich etwas, man kriegt es auch, aber es erfüllt nicht die Erwartungen. Das kennt man sehr oft in Beziehungen heutzutage. Wenn ich dich und du mich heiratet, dann werden wir leben wie im Palmgartenparadies auf dem Leckermann-Katalog.